Nowadays, people like to think in scientific terms, to seek scientific answers to questions, to follow the scientific method in thinking about things in general. And this is good. In general, this is very good. But it does have its downside in that it could lead to a loss of appreciation for the non-scientific, like things like poetry and faith. There is a tendency in the church today to fall into this same trap, especially when we read the Holy Scriptures. Even though it is very important to apply scientific methods and thinking to understand the historical meaning of words and events, a particular text or word in Scripture that has a nuance that careful study might show us. But even so, we should never fail to listen to Scripture with the ear of a poet and with a heart filled with faith in Jesus Christ. This is very much the case with today's first reading from the prophet Zephaniah. In the text, the prophet says to us, "Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Be glad and exult with all your heart. O daughter Jerusalem, the Lord is in your midst." Now, to the strictly scientific approach to this, Zion and Jerusalem refer to the people of Israel. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and Zion is the mountain that Jerusalem is on. But to those with a sense of poetry and a fullness of the faith, people like the doctors and fathers of the church, they hear something a little more than this. First, when they hear daughter Zion, they think not only of Israel, but also of the church. And then on a deeper level, they recall the words the archangel Gabriel spoke to a young girl in Nazareth. "Hail," or "rejoice, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And also the words that very same virgin, Mary, spoke to her cousin Elizabeth just a few days later. She said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Zephaniah is speaking not only to Israel and to the church, but particularly to the Blessed Virgin Mary. As St. Ambrose wrote in the 4th century, along with so many of the other early fathers of the church, Mary is the type, or the archetype, we say, the outstanding model, if you will, of the church. She is the great example or exemplar, the great teacher of the church. And so, she is the one who is the most sublimely able to teach us, as St. Paul tells us today, to rejoice in the Lord always. After all, who rejoices more at the news of the coming of the Lord than the Blessed Mother? Of whom else can it be said that for 9 months the Lord was not only in your midst, O daughter, but, O daughter, the Lord is physically in your body? In the months and weeks before the birth of Christ, Mary was full of joy, not only because she was pregnant with her son, but she knew that he would be healthy and strong and that he would be the king. But also because she knew that he was her Lord, that he was God, whom she loved above all things. Truly in her midst, the Lord was with her in her womb. For 9 months and more, filled with perfect joy in the Lord Jesus. And as our archetype, as Mary is the archetype of the church also today, we can say the same thing about her. Today the church is filled with, we could say, pregnant expectation of the coming of the Lord, an expectation filled with joy and yet an expectation not yet fulfilled. Today the church beams like a pregnant woman in her 8th month, The light of Christ beginning to shine through the normal dark violet of Advent, changing it for a moment to a bright rose color, like the unblemished, radiant cheeks of the expectant Virgin Mary. Zephaniah tells Mary and the church, rejoice. And in today's second reading, St. Paul echoes that theme, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. But while these first two readings are full of joy and excitement, the gospel sort of seems to take a different tack. Instead of the glad tidings, sing joyfully as one sings at festivals, we find the stark character of John the Baptist, the one who preaches not about joy and singing, but about repentance and preparing the way of the Lord. And John the Baptist, who after he confronts the crowd responds to him, how do we prepare? They say, what should we do? Now, like I said, this seems like two different themes, rejoicing and preparation, but really they're not. Because before there can be rejoicing in the Lord, there must also be first be preparation for him. And Mary was prepared for the coming of Christ better than anyone else from the moment of her conception. We celebrated just 5 days ago the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, the beginning of her preparation for the birth of Jesus. And because Mary is completely and perfectly prepared by God, then, only then, can she rejoice at all times with her entire spirit. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Now, for those who are prepared like Mary, the coming of the Lord Jesus is nothing but good news, and the response is rejoicing. And so the gospel today tells us that the people were filled with expectation after St. John had told them how to prepare and answered their question, what should we do? They were full of excitement and joy because, as the gospel says, he preached the good news to the people. But think about that. What was the good news that he preached? Today's gospel tells us that St. John's good news was that those who are prepared are filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit and we will be gathered like wheat into the Lord's barn. But on the other hand, he goes on to tell us that part of the good news is bad news. The ones who don't prepare won't be able to rejoice because they'll be like the chaff left over from the wheat. He says, and they will be burned in the unquenchable fire. The good news is that Christ is in our midst. There's only room for the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire that consumes even as it purifies, the fire of burning love, the fire of rejoicing. But the bad news is that without preparing for the coming of Christ, there's only the unquenchable fire of despair. There is no true joy when Christ is not in our midst, and Christ cannot be in our midst when we are in the midst of sin. So while sin can bring us a temporary pleasure and satisfaction, there can be no real joy in sin. In the end, there can only be despair and anxiety. And so while St. John preaches a gospel of repentance and preparation, St. Paul also reminds us then, have no anxiety at all. But that's if we're prepared. How do we prepare? After all, we're not immaculately conceived like the Blessed Mother. St. John tells the people of his day and the people of our day. He tells them that they don't have to be immaculately conceived or go into the desert and live on locusts like he did. What we have to do is recognize that Christ is in our midst, and by his grace, the fire of the Holy Spirit, we live the life that he's given us in the way that he has called us to live it. To those who have more than enough, St. John says, share that with those who have nothing. He instructs the tax collectors and the soldiers. He tells the tax collectors, to stop collecting, not to stop collecting, but to be fair and not greedy. And he tells the soldiers not to stop soldiering, but to tell the truth, not to be cruel or unjust, and to be happy with their wages. In other words, don't extort people. Don't rob just because you have a sword in your hand. Now, how many in Fairfax and Springfield and Lorton have more than enough this Christmas, this Advent? And how many are tax collectors in one form or another? And how many are soldiers in one form or another? How many in this building right now? There is no joy in selfishness and greed, gossip and lies, cruelty and injustice. There is no joy in sin. There's only despair and anxiety. And so today, St. John reminds us, prepare. But be prepared as Mary was prepared. Prepare so that you may rejoice. The words of Scripture are not just words to be measured and studied by scientists. The words of poetry, understood in the fullness of faith. To those who can see with the eyes of faith and who have ears to hear the poetry of God, Mary, our Blessed Mother, is the archetype, the example, the model of the Church and all of her members. She is the one, par excellence, who prepares us to rejoice. So as we continue this season of Advent, full of anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus, let us imitate Daughter Zion, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let us ask God to prepare us so that we may echo the words of our Blessed Mother and rejoice in God our Savior. Not only rejoicing at Christmas, but rejoicing in the Lord always. Let us pray that when he comes, he'll find us worthy of the good news, filled with the joyful fire of the Holy Spirit, and not left to be consumed by the fire of despair. And let us pray that the word of God handed down through the prophet may not only apply to Israel and to Mary, but also to the church and to each of the church's members, you and I. Let us pray that they apply to us. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Praise be Jesus Christ.